Jesus' name, how wonderful we know and we've heard how good it is to praise the Lord and how good it is to praise the Lord together. Lord, thank you that there is this bond of perfectness that's only in you. Lord, thank you for this great love wherewith we are loved. And thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost to teach us and to lead us. And Lord, that we can know the love of Christ. Lord, help us to grow into that today. Help us to grow on into that today. And help us to grow more in love with one another today. We know that that is what you desire. We know that that is the evidence of Christ in us, that they would know that we are your disciples because we love one another. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to love the head and to love the body. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd open your Bibles, let's begin today in 1 Peter chapter 3. I love the precious encouragement brought through God's sweet vessels by the Holy Ghost, this wondrous word, and may it touch our hearts today greatly. Reading from the 15th verse of the third chapter of 1 Peter, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready, always, always be ready, to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so," notice that, "it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." And know this, we're called to reign. So know this, you're gonna suffer. So understand that again. It is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. It's amazing what the Lord will in your life. But that's not the sermon today, but that's a good one. Praise the Lord. Now, we have a very sweet encouragement here, and a precious brother encouraged me with a little writing he did in this, and I thank God. But how sweet it is that the grace of God would give us in our lives a living victory. Amen? Praise God. You know it. You're thankful for it. And then that he would have someone ask or notice about that hope that is alive in us. Now, you thank God so much that it witnesses and testifies to that person that would ask you. But aren't you thankful that the Lord encourages you that he's working in you? Oftentimes, it's the time you didn't think that there was a work in you. You weren't even expecting it. Matter of fact, you felt like a failure. Maybe it was a place and a time that, man, you were thinking, I'm way below that bar. But God. And how sweet that is. Think about what encouraged Jesus. That Samaritan woman at the well. That encouraged Jesus. And she was there alone. So she was a Samaritan that was an outcast from the Jews just because of who she was a part of. But then she was so even separated and banished, if you will, from even those that were banished, that she was the less of the least. And the Lord found that the most attractive of all. And he left his disciples to go to her because she was the lovely one. There was a hope that lied within her that he knew that she would receive. And even the testimony of our Lord that it drew him. And he noticed that hope. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that he would have someone recognize that hope that's alive in us, and that we would be ready to give an answer. And we know what that answer is every time. It's the grace of God that's with me. It's the grace of God, it's the mercy of the Lord, and it's the undying love of Christ that is for us. Praise God. We know that of ourselves we can't do anything. We know that we can testify, and every one of us can testify. I'm not faithful, but he abides faithful. And my faith alone, praise God, is in his faithfulness. So anything that's been brought through my life that might be something encouraging to your life, I'll tell you one reason. It's because he's faithful. And that's it. And I thank the Lord for it. But let's be honest. We desire to have a beautiful testimony before the Lord. Amen? Amen. Come on. You're thankful for that. You're thankful when that's working. Praise be to God. That hope, hallelujah, that ones would ask about your life. Because of something that you've gone through, something that you're going through, a major test. But praise be to God for his grace that comes through in such a mighty way that there is a hope and there's a joy to see in your life that God allows someone to take notice of and ask you about that hope that's going on even though there's a fire that's raging. Amen. We rejoice and thank the Lord. Are you happy? And does it speak to you about the hope that lied in Joseph? Many things about his life. But how about the hope that lied in Joseph? His brothers had sold him into slavery. They had lied to his dad. He didn't know it at that time that he was dead. He was in a strange country. He was made a slave. And it seems like things were kind of working out for him there. He got into Potiphar's house. But then Potiphar had a wife that lusted after Joseph. Does the witness of the hope that lied within Joseph speak to you? That he rejected her advances? And fully knowing that he would suffer the consequence of going to prison? I believe that's a wonderful hope that encourages us. Amen. How about with Paul and Silas? How about the hope that was within them that they did not cease to preach the gospel, even though they knew by preaching it they would be beaten and they would be imprisoned? That hope speaks to us, and we love that testimony, don't we? How about Job when he said, "Though he slay me, will I trust him?" That's a wonderful one. And yet sometimes we get a headache and it couldn't be more than 5 minutes and we're running to get the aspirin. But it's okay. It still speaks to us. Praise the Lord. Now, but I ask you, think about this. What about someone like King David? What about his life that gives you the most hope that you look at? Was it his triumph over Goliath? That's given me hope many times, especially as a young person, especially as a middle-aged person, and now getting on past that too. Oh, yes. How about that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that he danced before the Lord virtually naked in front of the whole kingdom because he was so joyful. And there was his own wife criticizing him and telling him what a fool he looked like. And he should be ashamed of himself because that's not how kings act. And basically his response to her was this: if that bothered you, you haven't seen anything yet. Now, that gives me a hope, amen? And I thank God for that precious testimony. It's a beautiful thing. But now I want to ask you, how about the thankfulness for God's grace in David's life, the hope that lied within David when he fell into temptation? When he fell into temptation with Bathsheba, when he fell into temptation and he murdered Uriah. How about the hope that lied within David when he feared and failed and numbered the people, yet the hope that lied within David to hear him cry out to God in such victory, "Though I make my bed in hell, thou art there with me." I'm going to ask you again, Does that hope and that testimony in that time, does that speak to you? Oh, I pray it does. And I'm telling you, as I've gone along with God, and I've gotten to know how much He's in love with me, and I began to really fall in love with Him, oh, the testimony of those in this precious word that have rejoiced and given witness. And I have seen that hope. Though I've made my bed in hell, Thou art there with me. Now, I want you to think about that, and I want you to go back to where we began today in our precious verse. Listen to the statement in verse 16 of 1 Peter chapter 3. After it says about being ready to give every man an answer for the reason of the hope that lies within you, it says, having a good conscience. A good conscience. Now, I thank the Lord for this, because you can read this whole thing and it's a good conscience where? In Christ. A good conscience in Christ. That sparked my heart, brothers and sisters, and I had to go really look up what that word conscience meant. Because my mind thinks a good conscience is how Jesse feels about himself. It's about how I think about myself and how I think I've responded about this. You go and look that word up, and it literally means joint knowledge. J-O-I-N-T, knowledge. It literally means the knowledge of our noble origins. Joint knowledge, the knowledge of your noble origins. You're born of God. How noble is that? Your joint knowledge, you're the members of His body. How noble is that? So I thank the Lord then. I know what this good conscience is talking about, and it told me right there, it means knowing myself in Christ. You want a good conscience? Go on over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Here is your good conscience in Christ. This is the only good conscience that matters. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I'm going to ask every one of us, and yes, you can give me a show of hands if you'd like, and I'm not ashamed of it. Are you in Christ? I'm in Christ. Praise be to God. I've got the blood of Jesus on my life. That's in Christ. And I'm not going to ever be anywhere else. I am born of God. Hallelujah. I am now a son of God. Hallelujah. So I know, praise God. It's the seed that remaineth. I can never be separated from His love. And praise be to God, I'm in His hand. I'm in the Father's hand. And no man shall pluck me out of His hand. And I know that for you as well if you're born again. It's a seed that remains. Everlasting life, eternal life is exactly what He gave you. He didn't say, I gave you a temporal life. A conditional life. He said, I've given you everlasting. That means it don't end. He gives you eternal life. That means it was from beginning to end. That's the beautiful thing about that. And there's only one life that's everlasting. There's only one life that's beginning and end. And that's the very life of Jesus Christ. And that's why in Galatians 2:20, every single child of God born by grace through faith in that blood. I love it, and it's beautiful, and it's marvelous. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That means I'm dead with Christ, yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in every child of God. Christ, that everlasting life, that eternal life. That life that can never be separated from the Father life. The life that can never be taken away life. It's the life of the seed that remaineth life. How many things does the Lord have to tell us to tell us you are secure, you're sound, you're born of God, and you are not going anywhere else. You are in the body of Christ. And I thank God for the good conscience that I have in Christ. And it's not something that I try to generate or whoop up in my life by the things I do. It comes from knowing who I am in Christ. And here is who I am in Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's me. That's me. Put yourself right there. That's me. He is a what? A new creature. He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I love that because, you know, you go on over to 3 John 3:2, and we thank God. We know this. It said, he that's born of God cannot commit sin, neither can he sin. So see, this new creation isn't just a non-sinning line. This new creation is a cannot sin line. It can't. It's his life. Praise the Lord. Understand the two natures. Praise the Lord. It's right there on the website. Go at it. You'll understand it. But this is who you are in Christ. So praise be to God. This good conscience means to know who I am in Christ. And it means knowing that all things are new. And then I get Romans 8, 1. It said, there is therefore now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. See, everything's in Christ. Your life is in Christ. You are crucified with him. And your life as it was before you accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, that's gone. That's gone. Thank you, Lord. That old man is dead. Praise be to God. I've got a new life. I've got a new creation. I've got Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the transformation, isn't it? Praise the Lord. It's believing. And I thank God for him telling me about faith. Faith isn't something that you see physically. No. Faith is evidence and substance of things not seen. Amen, it is. It's believe in the Lord. And that includes you. You understand that? See, sometimes you look at you and you're a little horrified. That's not a Christian. But that's where faith needs to really set in. And really, too, when you look at your brother or sister in the Lord, well, that's not a Christian. I never want to look at you that way. I want to thank God you are a Christian. I'm thanking God you are the sons of God. I thank the Lord. You know what? We do fail. And that's why I said, if it be the will of God. Hard thing for people to swallow. You think the will of God is for you to live a perfect man's perfect life? Ha! You don't even know the Word of God. The will of God is for you to know Him and to know His grace and to know His mercy. How would you ever know His grace and mercy if you're always looking at you to try to perfect you? You couldn't. But that's a sad thing about my Christian brothers. They're always looking at themselves to try to make themselves right, as opposed to thanking the Lord for the grace of God that already made me like Him. And I see it not looking in a mirror. I see it because I believe the Word of God. Amen. Now, so I love this testimony of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I think about what Paul told Timothy, those precious last words of Paul in 2 Timothy 2:1. You know, Timothy was really down and ashamed, and there was a stirring that needed to happen in his life. And that stirring had to be with the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, but there was a dormant time for him. It wasn't alive and fervent in his life. Paul praying for him, encouraging him in this precious, wonderful letter that he wrote. He said, oh, honey, you got to stir up that gift. You can toil and try to stir it up in your head and all that, honey. You're just going to have to turn yourself over on the altar. And I'm confident too, Paul, in saying, remember when I laid my hands on you, honey, and that gift of the Holy Ghost that came into your life? I was thinking about my precious, every time I think about that, I think about precious Jerry Tabor. There I was, a young boy, wanted to be filled. And I felt that hand hit me on that altar. Didn't know whose it was, but I knew it was the hand of God. And I know what that hand spoke of. And I know what Paul's hand spoke of upon Timothy. It was that time of that rushing wind from heaven. That sound. That fire, praise God, that entered into my life to be able to praise him. And truly to surrender this body and even my tongue to him and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this language. There's things I'd always love to say to you, but oh, you're saying them so sweet by the power of your Holy Ghost. So what he needed was that love power. He needed that love power. And here's what love power does. 2 Timothy 2:1. He tells him, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is in Christ Jesus. And see, we're in Christ Jesus, so I'm going to ask you, how much grace is in Christ Jesus? All grace. There's all grace in there. Every bit of grace there's ever been, he put us right in there. I want you to think about that again. How much judgment is in there? How much legality is in there? Oh, John the Baptist saw him. Oh, there he is, Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Amen. And that's where he's put us. That's the only place we'll ever be. And that's what he goes back and he tells Timothy, this precious brother that had traveled with him and given the word of God and been powerful in speaking and preaching the word of God. But Timothy was feeling low. And Timothy was, he was injured in things because he wasn't strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I just heard it from y'all. We have all grace, don't we? Not some grace, not part grace, not a little bit of grace. We got all grace. And matter of fact, in Christ, it's all grace. And praise be to God. And there is no law. See, that's back to the good conscience. That's the good conscience. See, I have that good conscience in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. He'll will and do of his good pleasure in me. You'll see me go through things by God's grace and give him glory. And I'm talking about the victories by the grace of God that we all want to see in one another's life. The victories like a Joseph turning down the advances of a woman that wants to lust with him. All right? The wonderful encouragement that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I pray that's in me. But I'll tell you one thing, the greatest encouragements I've ever seen in any one of you is your failures and your shortcomings, and that you're still here in the truth. And that's the difference. That's always the difference. By the grace of God, did love through? Did truly faith win? Or was it something that it was really by sight in our life? And were we going on with the Lord by what we saw and what we felt as opposed to what he said and what we know? Those are the champions. Those are the ones that will win Christ. Those are the ones, praise God, that will come before him in that worship and praise and adore him, receiving that crown and praise be to God, that truly have that heart of him, that heart that judges righteously. All it's doing is looking for righteousness. But where is all of that righteousness? It's in the blood of Jesus. There's no righteousness in us. There isn't. Paul even said, he said, the one thing he wanted, that he would not be found at all having his own righteousness, which is of what? Which is of the law. Listen to that again. Paul said, God forbid that I would be found having my own righteousness, which is of the law. And we have all been there as we've grown up in Christ. There was that time when we were childish and we had childish thoughts. And somehow, some way, that perfection, there had to be the reflection of the law in my life, as opposed to the beauty of the magnificence of the shining of the grace of God in my life. And Paul said, God forbid that I would be found having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that he would only be found having the very righteousness of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus. I want to dance around a little bit. I just thank him for this grace. And all I want by God's grace is, my brethren, thank him for his grace. Praise him for his mercy. That's the greatest offering. And matter of fact, it's the only offering you could ever give him. The Holy Ghost teaching you that love. And then again, right there on Wednesday night, where does that wonderful candlelight shine? Right there on that golden table for two. It's so small you couldn't get there but just with one other. And he tells you about the crown, and he shows you the crowns right on that table. I got a crown for you, honey. And it's all because of the love of the Holy Ghost that enlightened this up for you. And then you're just running right over to that altar of incense. And, oh, Lord, smoke me up for you. I just love him. Oh, hallelujah. And it's his fire. There ain't no other fire but him. But I just want to be that sweet-smelling incense that would be nothing without that blaze of fire. And I just smoke right up to him. I'm right with you, and I might run down there in a minute too, honey. So it's good. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I thank the Lord for the mighty wind that runs through here. And you know what? You might be an open vessel someday to catch some of it. You might be. You might be. You know, there was a time over in that red church, they wouldn't even have the sermon. They wouldn't. They'd begin to sing. The Spirit would catch over them. They'd praise the Lord the whole day or night long. I guess that was strange fire too. God help my ignorant brethren. Because that's the only help there is. Now, let's wrap it up. You want to go on with God? You want to go on with God? Got to be one thing, all grace. You want to win Christ as bridegroom? Amen, I do. You must be strong in the grace that is in Christ. And that's All grace. All grace. Always. For all things. For all sufficiency. To superabound to every and in every good work. That's the winner. Praise be to God, it's the winner. So, this is the point. Strong in grace is greater than all my sin. Strong in grace, and He, praise God, is so well able to deliver me. And I will tell you this, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you with my life, it doesn't always line up with the way that I would have hoped. I'm living a dream, but it ain't down here. And I'm so thankful I can say this right now. I'm thankful, though, that my life is all lined up with the way He hoped. Thank you, sis. It wasn't the hope of what I thought my calling was. I have so many people ask you, oh, I just want to know my calling. No, you don't want to know your calling. You want to know the hope of His calling. Oh, I'm so thankful I know the hope of His calling. I'm so thankful He didn't give me everything that I wanted. I'm so thankful He didn't give me everything that I thought was meant to be. And it's because of His faithfulness. This precious will of God that we, if the will of God be, well, I know the will of God is for me. And I know the will of God has given me tragedies. I know the will of God has allowed temptation. But I know what the will of God is. The will of God is the God that perfects all that concerns me. I know the will of God is the will that He perfects all that concerns me. So, we conclude we need to be strong in grace and get stronger in grace and then get stronger and stronger in more grace to where we're just superabounding in the grace of God. And I pray that everyone would know without a doubt, without a doubt. My praise and my hope, just ask me. Come and inquire by the grace of God. I'll tell you this. He's never failed me. And I can tell Him the same thing for your life. He's never failed you. He never has. And I can tell you that He's never left me. And I can tell you by the grace of God. So sweetly He said, oh honey, I'm going to be right there in every bed of hell with you. I'm seeing dove's eyes. I'm going to be right there in that bed of hell with you. I know Him. His anointing's not going to leave. He's the preserver of my soul. I know I never gained or garnered one thing because of anything I ever did. I know everything and anything in my life is because of the grace of God. That wonderful grace of God that is with me. I want to be with Him in that. How about you? Amen? Amen. Let's pray.
You are a sweet-smelling savior unto me. To some, you are death. To others, you are life. You have a good conscience. Grow Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Jesus.
Father, we do. We just lift up your Son and thank you for him. He that is full of grace and truth. Lord, there is no other praise. There's no other rejoicing. Lord, we're thankful for the enlightenment that we're the beautiful vessels of your mercy. That, Lord, you bestow the riches of your glory upon. And, Lord, thank you for the glory of your grace today. And, God, may we magnify it. May it be more magnified always. And it comes but one way. You must increase and we must decrease. And, Lord, we do. We glory in our infirmities today. We glory in them. Lord, as Paul was taught and as Paul rejoiced, oh, thank you, God, for the thorn that you did not remove. For if it was removed, I would be magnified and not you. Thank you, God, for the lowliness that only you by your grace can bring, that only you can do. Lord, that it is in your faithfulness you afflict us. That, Lord, it is in your faithfulness that the bruised reed is not broken, the smoking flax is not quenched. But, oh, we rejoice in the faithfulness of who and what you have chosen for you. And, Lord, we know it's before the world began you saw us in love. Lord, may we go boldly to this throne of grace today, rejoicing for our lives and for one another. Lord God, that we are now the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when you shall appear, we shall be like you in the wonderful splendor and fullness and marvelous glory, Lord God, of that perfect stature of the perfect man, Lord God, that will wedlock in royal divine for ages to come. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.